Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Silence, quiet!
All my boys, stand up!
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's time for the highly sought-after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Did somebody respond?
Where'd my clutch go? I keep cranking up my headphones because T-Mac keeps turning it down on me. I keep cranking it up. I want to hear more clutch. I don't know if my pipe's going to make it through the week. I know I had a short week last week. Welcome back. Highly sought after fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show. Phone lines are open 866-485-9867. We'll get you in. We had a short week last week because Thursday and Friday we were knocked out due to the tournament. What a glorious thing to listen to. I was listening to it as I was doing some other jobs, and I had it on in the studio, and I was listening to it, the Westwood One coverage, more than I was watching it even. And then Saturday and Sunday, I did a project with my wife. We did wainscoting. You know what wainscoting or wainscoting, some people call it wainscoting. T-Mac, you know what wainscoting is? You know what that is?
No, I'm really not sure what that is.
That's the wood. Like you put a chair rail up, and then underneath it you put the wood, you know, that goes down. It's called wainscoting there, you know, that's like wood on the bottom and, you know, drywall. You know what I'm talking about.
I know, right? What you're talking about. I didn't know that's what it was called though. That's pretty cool.
Wainscoting. And it comes in, you can get it in sheets, you know, where it's like beadboard sheets, but that's really the cheesy way to do it. I mean, you got to go old school, and we were using it. Actually, it was a last minute decision. I had put up the chair rail. We did put up the chair rail in our hallway in our 105-year-old house, and we got a hallway that goes up to the upstairs. And so we had peeled off all this old wallpaper and sanded down the plaster and whatnot, and then ran the chair rail. And then I was going to make the boxes. You know, I was going to cut the boxes in there as the wainscoting with the boxes. And do it directly on a plaster, and then she was going to paint the whole thing and so on. And I was looking at that, and I was like, man, this is going to be a bear. You know, getting all these angles right and everything else is going to be a bear. So we were at the Lowe's, and I said, you know, what do you think about just wainscoting the whole bottom of the thing with the actual planks? And I found the planks, and it was, you know, 3-inch wide boards and everything else. And she says, oh, that would be so much better. That's what I always wanted in the first place, was to have it wainscoted. And she's right. She's got a great design eye. So I said, all right, let's do it. But, man, we're talking about a lot of cuts and a lot of measuring and so on. And, you know, we've got decent tools. I mean, I got decent shop stuff. I mean, I got a nailer, you know, an air compressor with a nailer and a table saw and a band saw and a chop saw. And, you know, we put together a pretty good group of tools over the years. And have a pretty good little shop area, and we like to mess around with it. She does as much as I do. She loves doing woodwork and things like that. And so basically I spent half of the day Saturday getting the material and then working on the project with her. And then all day yesterday, basically about 8 hours yesterday, we got done yesterday at 4 o'clock or so, but I was listening to the basketball. I had to race on as I was going in and out. And I set up a cutting station outside on the carport. And she was inside. She did all the measuring. She did all of the installation of the pieces. what I would go in, and we did one piece at a time because it's a 100-year-old house, and every piece is a little bit different on the cut, and she's very precise. So I'd already put up the chair rail, and so we're measuring every single board. I figured it out. It was something like we put up 130 boards, all right? She used the air-powered, you know, nailer, the nail gun. She used the nail gun and installed the board. She did all the measurements. I just said, mark the wood and give it to me. I'll do the cutting. I really don't want her around the saws. And I'm like, I'll make the cuts and I'll bring you to pieces, just like when we did a counter in tile and I cut all the tile. I give it to her and she put it together. Because I'll go mad, you know, doing the measuring and the, you know, she's like putting a level on every single board to make sure it's exactly level. So I made all the cuts, and some of the cuts were kind of intricate, you know, like you had to cut around a piece of molding down at the bottom. I'm like, well, why don't I just rip that molding off of her? It's only been there for 105 years. She's like, yeah, you ain't touching that molding. So that's how I spent the week. Did you do anything productive this weekend, T-Mac? Did you do anything other than put together a crappy bracket?
Well, I actually put that bracket together before the weekend.
Oh, so okay. Did you do anything other than watch your bracket go up in flames?
Yeah, I watched it with
mine go up in flames.
I watched it with some of my best friends. I actually got to go take a trip to Auburn to see some of my best friends. I'd actually requested off this past weekend because I hadn't had really much of many days off since transitioning into this job. And then we luckily got Thursday and Friday off as well, so I just made a whole weekend out of it. I took the fiance out on a date and everything Thursday. We went and saw a movie. That's when Marilyn went down, and I was at a movie when that happened, so softened the blow a little bit.
But, what'd you see?
I took her to see Beauty and the Beast, the live-action remake of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay.
And it was actually pretty good, and we enjoyed ourselves, and then Friday morning I got
up. Is there a gay guy in that? Is there a gay guy? Is the Candlestick gay? I always suspected the Candlestick of being gay. Is he gay in that? Or somebody's not sure about their sexuality or something in it, isn't it?
It's Gaston's right-hand man, LeFou, if you've ever seen the original. And it really, all the fuss about it going into this movie, I heard all kinds of critics talk about it and people complain. You can't tell. You can't tell at all. There's like, and the guy who plays him's goofy anyway, so he's just this goofy guy. And at the end, there's like a two-second scene of him dancing with another dude, and they're not even close. So it really wasn't a big deal that everybody made out of it.
Are they actual dudes, or are they like the teacup and the candlestick? I mean, are they real life people?
Yeah, they're real life people. No. It's actual dudes.
Yeah.
But then I went to Auburn. I got up early Friday morning and made sure it's like a 4-hour drive. So I made sure I got out there before any of the games started. And we had a day. And Saturday we did something called the Triple Double Challenge. I think it originated because of like Corn Dog Day or something like that. Yeah. But me and the majority of my friends finished that challenge and everything. And I drove back last night, spent the night with the
What
the
is
old
the
lady.
Triple-double challenge? You can't just leave that hanging out there. What's the triple-double challenge?
You have to do it on one of the 2 days of the second day of the tournament. And it has to be from opening tip until the last buzzer. And you have to eat 10 corn dogs, 100 tater tots, and drink 10 beer.
10 beers?
10 beers.
And you did this?
Oh, it was cake. The hardest part was the tater tots.
So from the opening tip on what day? On Saturday or Friday?
Saturday.
So the opening tip on Saturday till the end of the tournament or the end of the action on Saturday night, 10 beers, 10, what do you call them?
Corn dogs.
In 100 taters, and you knocked that out.
Knocked it out. I started at 11:10 was the first tip, and I ended up finishing right before 7:30.
That's a good job by you. That's a really good job by you. Now, you weren't driving, obviously. You didn't have to go anywhere.
No, we all stayed put.
Oh, okay. All right, so that's good. 10 beers in 8 hours. I mean, it's only a little more than a beer an hour. But still, it's a beer an hour. I mean, now what kind of, was it a 16-ounce draft or just a can, a 12-ounce can of beer?
It was just a 12-ounce can.
So a 12-ounce can. You know what? I got a new respect for you. All right? All right. Good job by you. So you were McDrunk over the weekend watching a game. So that's a good job by you.
It took the edge off a little, off the bracket, Bernie.
Well, the bracket was pretty bad. I think you did 10 beers before you made out that bracket.
Hands down, easily the worst bracket I've ever made in my entire life.
My worst bracket ever, which is a bad combination for us because somehow you and I are still in this challenge with Kublik and Arky because their brackets are nearly as bad as mine, or actually Arky's is, And I still think we got a chance to get it done. I mean, we might get it done. We're like 3 points behind those guys, even with the McBracket Buster bracket. It's so bad. And we still have a chance to get it. Now, you can only have a possibility of getting 37. I got a possibility. Me, Arky, and Cole all have a possibility of 40. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, Danny T leads the way. He's got like 40 already and a possibility of 50. But he won't win. I mean, Badger Larry will win before Danny T wins. Danny T won't win the thing. I mean, Danny T likes to talk a good game, and he always comes up with something really good like this at the beginning of one of these things. But he'll flame out before it's all said and done. I mean, looking at his, he had Duke to the final. He had North Carolina over Duke. He's got Gonzaga left. He's got Kansas and North Carolina. The dude took 3 number one seeds and Duke to the Final Four. I mean, way to go out on a limb there, Danny T. Way to really reach out there, Danny T.
Was that a President Barack Obama bracket? Is what it sounds like.
Yeah, he went all Barack Obama on that on that deal right there. But anyway, speaking of Danny T and Barack Obama, by the way, South Carolina literally had a home game as a 7 seed. Basically, they were in Greenville, South Carolina, playing Duke. And I don't think that it didn't have anything to do with Duke losing a game. Duke's been wildly inconsistent, but it was that bathroom bill thing. I mean, that's the deal. They were supposed to be in North Carolina, but North Carolina passed that law that says, you know, dudes use the dudes room and chicks use the chicks room. And there you go. And that includes showers and schools and everything else. And, you know, T-Mac, I know you don't have any kids yet, but pretty soon you're going to have a wife, and then you're going to make people, and then you're going to have a 12-year-old daughter, and she's going to be in a locker room. And then you're going to have some 14-year-old boy that woke up that day, you know, thinking that he's now Michelle instead of Mike. And he says he's going to want to, hey, I identify as a girl and want to go in the locker room. You don't want that. I mean, it can't be like that where you can just do that. I mean, it sounds good. And I know everybody's about being all inclusive and all of this kind of stuff. But in practicality, it's ridiculous. And the reality is that there are 12 other states that have this law, you know, has been proposed. Or what are we going to do? Are we going to, everybody's going to have to go to California or to New York? No, maybe not even New York. I think they've got it. Let's see. These are the states that have proposed it. Alabama, Arkansas, Illinois, Kansas, Kentucky, Minnesota, Missouri, New York, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Washington. Now, South Dakota, Virginia, and Wyoming also introduced legislation that would restrict access to multi-user restrooms, locker rooms, and other sex-segregated facilities on the basis of a definition of sex or gender consistent with sex assigned at birth. I like that. Assigned. It was assigned by God. Assigned. Biological sex, assigned by birth. Eesh. South Dakota, Virginia, and Wyoming failed to pass it. Right now, it's still pending. Now, here's Alabama's law. Alabama's law requires entities with restrooms, bathrooms, or changing facilities open to public to choose one of the following options. One, facilities designed to be used by one person at a time. That's it. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. There'll be no more public restroom. There'll be no more public shower. There'll be just that's it. One head, one user at a time. Two, facilities designed to be used by multiple persons of the same gender. There's an idea. Why didn't anybody think of that? Hey, three.
Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it?
Doesn't it sound familiar? I mean, how about that? How about like a men's room? Where was I? I was someplace with my wife. And there was a bathroom. Oh, no. We were watching it on the TV. We were watching a show on the TV. It was Chicago Med or Chicago PD or Chicago Justice or Chicago Fire. It was one of them. We're very diversified in what we watch. So we're watching a show on the TV, and there was a sign at the bathroom. There was somebody that was waiting in front of the bathroom, and the sign on the bathroom, it had the universal sign for a dude, you know, like the dude, it's just a stick figure dude. And then it had the stick figure girl, which is like the dude sign, but only with a skirt on. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
And then it had a third one, which was a dude on one leg and a chick on the other leg.
Oh my gosh.
I had never seen anything like that. I'm like, really? I'm like, it's a men's room, a woman's room, or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, whatever. It was a single header though.
The closest thing to a girl walking in or a guy walking into the other bathroom I've ever come across was I went to Florida for a senior trip with one of my best friends, and we were at this pub you could eat at. I think his family was there and they wanted a couple beers, so we went in there and it was really cool. It was really awesome. But you walk to the bathroom and the ladies' room is a big sign, like a big bold letters, it says men, and right underneath it in small tiny letters it says, "This is the ladies' room." And then and the opposite for the men. I had two women walk in on me when I was trying to use the restroom, but that's the closest thing I've ever seen to that.
That's just rude to do. I hate when they do it, when you go in there and they use some kind of, like, it's like some kind of cute foreign name or something like that. I don't know which is what. I mean, I understand, you know, I understand seniors and senoritas, but I don't know what, you know, who knows. But anyway, so in Alabama, you got three choices: a facility designed for one person, a facility designed to be used by multiple persons of the same gender, or a facility designed to be used by multiple people at once, irrespective of their gender, that are staffed by an attendant stationed at the door of each restroom to monitor the appropriate use of the restroom and answer questions or concerns posed by the users. Oh, that's the answer. We need a bathroom cop. That'll get it done. A bathroom cop. Tennessee has a law pending requiring public schools and higher education institutions to have each student use the restroom or locker room facility consistent with the student's sex, as indicated on their original birth certificate. There's an idea. And South Carolina has one as well, defining the biological sex as the physical condition of being male or female, as stated on a person's birth certificate. Good gracious almighty. I can't even believe this is an issue. This is the world we live in now, that this is an issue. Unreal. All right, in any event, let's see, I got to that. All right, I got a couple of things laying on the table that I'll get to for the final segment. But between now and then, we've had a busy show, pretty busy show. It's pretty solid, I think, for the most part. Mark Long, Damon Amendola, Cole Kublik, Jordan Bianchi, Albert Haynesworth. Did they all make it into the Rapid Rewind? Well, we'll find out, because that's coming up next right here on 730-1039 The Ump.
730 and 1039 The Ump. More sports. The best radio in North Alabama, period.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
On Sports Radio 730 and 1039 The Ump.
Don't miss this amazing limited time offer from Sprint. Switch and get 4 lines of unlimited data talk and text, plus HD video and 10 gigabytes of mobile hotspot, all for just $22.50 per month per line for 4 lines. Just $22.50 per line. That's 50% off Verizon Unlimited and AT&T Unlimited Plus rates. And don't forget, Sprint's network reliability is within 1% of Verizon and AT&T. So, why would you pay twice as much for your unlimited plan? Hurry in for the best unlimited plan ever. Visit Sprint.com/unlimited or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
After 3/31/18, $60 for line 1, $40 line 2, and $30 lines 3 through 4 per month. Coverage and offer not everywhere. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Streams video at up to HD 1080p. Music at up to 1.5 megabits per second. Gaming at up to 8 megabits per second. Credit $30 activation fee. Prohibited network use. State deprioritization and restrictions apply.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC. Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. For hundreds of thousands of families in the United States, this is the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. March of Dimes is providing education and support to families and funding life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. You can help. Do something today. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Marion Platt, and welcome to Heartbeat. Do you ever feel that if you passed away today, you might not be missed? Life sometimes leaves us feeling like a zero, but it's worth noting that if you place the number one in front of the zero, you increase that number tenfold. When we place God as number one in our lives, we discover our own personal value. The Bible tells us that God marks the sparrow's fall, knows the number of hairs on our head, and has a plan for each of us. He gave His best, His own Son, to make our lives count. We do have value, infinite value, because He made us for eternal fellowship with Himself. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Your 2017 Atlanta Braves are ready to start a new chapter in their storied history, and we're bringing you every huge pitch from the start of this landmark season. Monday, April 3rd, the 2017 season opens in New York as the Braves take on the Mets. Then on Friday, April 14th, it's time to welcome Braves baseball home as the Braves take on the Padres in their first home game at SunTrust Park. Don't miss a minute of this historic Braves season right here.
Looking for a way to get involved in the community? Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Alabama has a new office in Athens and is looking for those interested in becoming a big, wanting to be a little, or simply desiring to assist the organization through donations or partnerships. Each year, Big Brothers Big Sisters works to pair children ages 5 to 13 with mentors in an effort to enrich their lives. In order to support these, your support is needed. To be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters, stop by the new office in the Family Resources Center at 406 South Jefferson Street in Athens. Call 256-880-2123 or on the web at bbbsna.org. Becoming a big brother or big sister makes a tremendous impact on the lives of children throughout the Tennessee Valley. And with the addition of the new office in Athens, your impact reaches even further. It's never too late to start something and make a difference in someone's life.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps stand ready to defend the American way of life. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Indeed.com delivers five times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Mostly fair tonight, the low at 60 degrees. Warm tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, the chance of a strong storm late in the day, the high 82. Then for Wednesday and Thursday, cooler with a mix of sun and clouds both days. Just a few isolated showers around, highs between 62 and 65. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Time to take a look back at today's show, what you might have missed. Those of you that are the 5 o'clock Warriors, earlier in the show, Mark Long was in. Also, Damon Amendola, Cole Kubelik, Jordan Bianchi, and Albert Hainsworth. They all make up the Rapid Rewind. no question about it. Mark Long with us, talking a little bit of NCAA basketball and Gator basketball. And yeah, I'll tell you right now, I know the people in Tuscaloosa will be disappointed if they're not in the tournament next year. A wonderful class, top five class coming in for Avery Johnson's team. And at Auburn with Bruce Pearl, even though it didn't go the way he wanted it to go, they've got another great, they got a great class coming in as well. And you look at the coaches, even Rick Barnes up there at Tennessee, they beat Kentucky this year and at times looked like they were going to be pretty good. Yeah, I think the league overall is in the best shape it's been in a long time.
Yeah, no question. And I think adding those big name coaches, I think they all four of them came in at the same time. Rick Barnes, Avery Johnson, and I'm missing Ben Howland.
Yeah, Ben Howland.
You brought back Bruce Pearl the following year, and then Mike White. And Mike White's kind of been the best of the bunch, really, with the least amount of hype. I remember that year it was indeed Howland, Avery Johnson, Mike White, and who am I missing?
Let's see, not Rick Barnes, Mike White, Bruce Pearl,
no,
Avery
Barnes.
Johnson.
Rick Barnes. Barnes, Howland, Avery Johnson, and Mike White. Mike White was the least of those four. No-name coach out of La Tech. Nobody knew who he was at Florida until they hired him. And all of a sudden now he's the SEC Coach of the Year. He's got a very good shot at being the National Coach of the Year. He's put together a legit team and has really carried them forward. But those other guys are going to catch up. They didn't follow Billy Donovan. They didn't have the pedigree at Florida that Mike White stepped into, but they're going to catch up. You can see Avery Johnson making strides. You can see Ben Howland making strides. You can see Rick Barnes making strides. And then, obviously, Bruce Pearl. I think the world of that Auburn team, and I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in a couple of years.
How is that Florida team built? Is this a team that is, a year early doing this, or is this a team that is senior-laden? Where are they at? Is this something that's got some staying power?
No, he's going to have to rebuild. I mean, they're going to lose a ton. Devin Robinson's almost a lock to go pro. He's probably the only guy on the bench with really NBA talent. But all those other guys, they've got a couple seniors in the starting lineup with Casey Hill and then Justin Leon. So they're going to lose the majority of their top eight, probably five of those top eight. But they've got some guys underneath. They got a good recruiting class coming in, so that's what it's about. The question is whether Mike White, whether he'll be able to recruit at the level Billy Donovan did, and can he get some of those top flight guys in the state? Can he grab a couple of guys from around the country? The guys who are considering Kentucky and Carolina and Duke. Can he all of a sudden get one of those guys to wind up in Gainesville, much like Billy Donovan did over the years? And that'll create some staying power for Mike White in that program. But getting to the Sweet 16 surely helps. Getting the Elite Eight would surely help. Getting the Final Four would be, pie in the sky for that program.
I liked Michigan over Louisville because they were so hot coming in, and I thought Louisville was a little sketchy. The one that stuns me is South Carolina over Duke. And Duke had its moments, there's no question. They were the betting favorite. Maybe I guess that turns out to be, or very close to being the betting favorite. So maybe that turns out to be just public money and people, liking the Duke brand. But, I mean, this may be the worst Duke loss. I mean, they've had some bad losses in the tournament. This may be the worst one ever.
Well, I don't think it's any worse than when they were a two-seed and lost to a 15. I mean, you at least do have a loss to a 7-seed, and you're doing it on the road, basically, because you're playing in Greenville, South Carolina, where there's a ton of Gamecocks fans. But I'll be the first one to admit that I raised my hand and thought that Duke was going to make a really deep run. I had them go into the national – I had them go to the Final Four and then lose to Arizona, and I sat there on press row and watched them in the ACC tournament knock off a really good North Carolina team and knock off a really good Louisville team and knock off a really good Notre Dame team. And I said, this squad's got everything that it takes. It's got everything that it needs to make a deep run. Obviously, it's got a coach that's been there before. But I also love Jason Tatum. I like Luke Kennard's offense. I like Grayson Allen's playmaking. I like the depth. I like the health. I liked everything. And just basically last night, South Carolina played the game of its lives. And I also feel great for Frank Martin, because that guy is the truest college basketball grinder that's ever going to be. And I feel great for him, and I feel great for the Gamecocks program. But I wouldn't say that's the worst Duke loss ever. I would say that I thought this team had the fuel to make it all the way to a Final Four.
Tomorrow I have Matt Figger on the show. He's the associate head coach there at South Carolina. I got to ask him about Frank Martin. Look, you know me, right? I've been around the horn a little bit. I'm a pretty good-sized guy and whatnot. That Frank Martin scares the hell out of me, man. I mean, that's just a scary-looking dude right there. Can you imagine that guy walking through the, you know, through the front door every night for dinner? I mean, that's just a bad-looking dude.
Well, it's funny because Frank Martin actually used to be a bouncer. Frank Martin used to be a high school coach. Then he was high school coach. He was a bouncer down in Miami. He's a South Florida guy, so he can be intimidating, obviously, from that vantage point, but he's also a guy that has worked every single job. I mean, I'd be surprised if he wasn't a janitor in some type of arena at some point in time. He's worked every job in college basketball. He goes to K-State, and my first introduction to him was at K-State because I was in Kansas City, and he took over for Huggy Bear because that was the year that Bob Huggins had the K-State job and also brought in Michael Beasley and Bill Walker, two NBA guys, and totally turned the K-State gig around, and then Frank Martin takes it over from there, and they go to an Elite Eight, and they go to basically the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament almost every year. He made it an annual rite of passage that Kansas State went to the NCAA tournament and then turned that into an SEC job going to South Carolina, and then took South Carolina 6 years, but he finally got into the NCAA tournament this year and suddenly beats Duke. He is as salt of the earth as he gets, and he might look intimidating, but I'm telling you, you ever talk to him, and it's like you've been friends about 1,000 times over. And he's not one of those normal college basketball politicians. He's just totally legit. What you see is what you get from him. And I really enjoy our conversations when I have him on the show. I had him on the show last week.
He does seem like a guy that would be great to sit down and have a frosty one with. You know, he does kind of come across as a guy's guy that way.
He knows where the bodies are buried in college basketball, I'll tell you that much. So if you got him with a beer and you can get some honesty out of him, I think you would get some amazing stories.
The potentiality outside of our brackets, we have the potentiality of some real good blue bloods coming up late in this tournament. I mean, with North Carolina, UCLA, Kentucky, Kansas, you know, Arizona, Wisconsin, Florida, all still alive, you know, it does set up for a potentially really sexy Final Four, don't you think?
No, I agree. And you look at the two, I think when we looked at all of these matchups, you know, we looked at this South region and, you know, Buzz Baker called it, he quantified it as a World Cup group of death on our show. Matt Jones said that it just wasn't even fair when you looked at the draw. And I think when you looked at that South region, I know I thought to myself, boy, there are two matchups that I would make sure I'm in front of my television and I would watch them from start to finish, which I haven't done that for many basketball games this year. And that would be Kentucky-UCLA and Kentucky-North Carolina. And we have a chance to get those in back-to-back weeks. That would be phenomenal if we got those kind of matchups. And then we still could be staring down the barrel of a Kentucky-Kansas game after that, which would just be, I mean, can you imagine if Kentucky were to go on and win a national title, having to play, Wichita State shouldn't have been a 10 seed. We would probably all agree with that now. Mm-hmm. And obviously Northern Kentucky wasn't anything to write home about week one. But if they had to go through UCLA, I mean, that's kind of, you're talking about that Pittsburgh Steeler run of having to play three playoff games on the road and still going out and winning the Super Bowl. I'm not sure you could – I'm not a college basketball historian, but you'd be hard-pressed, in my opinion, to find a better run, especially just not only where the teams were seated, but the name value and traditional power of the teams. If Kentucky were to go through UCLA, North Carolina, and Kansas, and then obviously a couple different teams that they could match up with on the other side.
Yeah, they could run into Arizona. Yeah, they could run into Arizona in the final. I mean, geez, that, you know, that's a big name too, you know, in a team like Arizona. And don't forget, you know, Florida's won more national championships than Kentucky in the last 20 years. You know, we don't talk about Florida that way, but the Gators look amazing, which brings me to the SEC in general. To me, it's the same people who poo-poo the bowl games as a measuring stick of conference superiority that are, you know, kind of blow off what happens in the tournament. But I think there's something significant to be said about the SEC being 7-2 in the tournament and putting three of their five teams into the Sweet 16, while the ACC, which is, you know, everybody's darling, was 7-8 in the tournament and only got one team through. You know, what do you think about that, though? I mean, is the tournament a legitimate harbinger of a conference health in a sport?
It's an intriguing thought because I think if you really dug deep and looked at it, I kind of think you have to say no. But on the flip side of that, what's the other way to figure it out if you want to have a postseason? I mean, you can all play each other in the regular season. Yeah, that's great, but we know why the postseason's around. It was initially generated to bring in more revenue, and obviously that's what you do. And I think when you have as many conferences as you do in basketball, I can't think of any way that's better to be able to determine a champion. So as far as postseason is concerned, yes. If we were just talking about a conference, I think that's a little bit of a different discussion. But I just don't know what else you would do if you were looking to determine a national champion with this many teams involved.
Yeah, and speaking of Chase Elliott, I mean, he's third in the points right now. Casey Kane is running 10th in the points right now. They're running the same equipment that Dale Jr. is running, and he's 23rd. He had a fast car in qualifying. Maybe he burned up his brakes. Maybe he didn't. But you just get the sense that the clock is ticking, don't you? I mean, it feels like how long is he going to be a middle-of-the-pack guy? Has he lost some juice? Because, you know, you got to feel like the equipment's good, you know. What's holding him back? It's almost like he's turning into the Danica Patrick of that crew where, you know, all the other cars run up front and he runs in the back.
Yeah, yesterday was not a good run for him. I mean, there's a lot of optimism going into Phoenix. He qualified well, started third, you know, was fast in practice, as you said, and it looked like, you know, this is going to be a good weekend. Maybe not a win, but he's going to have a good run to put everything together. Simply wasn't there. The handling of the car was terrible yesterday. He couldn't figure it out. The team couldn't figure it out, and they struggled. What's interesting to me, and it's going to be, you go back to last year, before Earnhardt got hurt, he was having an okay year, much like he is now, kind of good in spurts, but no consistency. The communication between him and his crew chief, Greg Ives, was intermittent, and it wasn't the best. And Earnhardt was very candid about this in some of the podcasts he did, where he said, you know, hey, this is something we need to work on, and we're trying to get better. Well, he ended up missing 7 months the second half of the season, 7 months. And he wasn't able to work on that chemistry with his crew chief. So I think that's still a little bit of an issue where Earnhardt asked for certain things and Greg Ives isn't sure what he's particularly asking for or how to give it to him. And you're seeing that right now. This is a team that's kind of searching right now. It's going to take a little bit of time. And then, of course, there's the concussion thing where, you know, he was out of the race car for some time. And it's going to take a little bit of time to kind of acclimate himself a little bit. And if those results don't start coming his way, those questions are only going to grow louder.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you get the sense that he lost that love and feeling a little bit. And I don't know, some of the things, it doesn't necessarily make him any less of a man in terms of what he, you know, what he is. He's a well-rounded guy and whatnot. I just think it, so many of us, and I say us because I've been an Earnhardt fan for forever, you know, just expect that he's the old man, and he's not the old man. I mean, we see other guys that are, you know, much more in their nature, more like the old man than Junior ever was. He's a very talented guy, but certainly a different kind of guy in terms of his own mental makeup.
Absolutely. He's much more of a laid-back person, especially his driving persona. He's not very forceful. He's not aggressive. He's much more of a smooth racer. I mean, his father was not afraid to put his bumper anywhere he could. And that's just who he is, though, and that's kind of how he is off the racetrack, too. He's much more of a laid-back guy, and that's just who he is. And he's become more confident and more reassured of himself in the last few years. You know, maturity, obviously, everything he's gone through on and off the racetrack, and then he's recently married. So he's definitely becoming more of an outgoing person, but he's certainly, in terms of ability on the racetrack or the way he drives, is certainly not his father.
Albert Haynesworth with us. And people also think that you lost your desire. I'll be honest with you. People think you lost your desire to play because you got paid. And you're only 35 years old now. Vince Wolfork is older than you. There are guys that played. I mean, Julius Peppers is still playing. My sense is, you know, my knowledge of you and the time that we spent together is that you just assume be playing still today. You know, if that opportunity was available to you, you would still be on the field. You don't have any less love for football. It's just you end up in these situations where everything goes sideways for you.
That's exactly right. Like, I mean, there is no feeling, there is nowhere in the world where you can just dominate another man like, and just destroy an offense and get away with it. I mean, you know, like, I do stuff. I've been retired, like, now for 5 years. I still can't even get that high. I mean, this is an addicting. It gives me chills just talking about it right now. Like, I get chills just thinking about it. I lived through my kids just of doing this stuff. Like, just to want them to play and give them that energy and, like, because you can't get that anywhere else. I mean, you can have the most money in the world or anything like that, but you can't do that. Like, to play at a high level and to actually dominate another man that knows that he's trying to stop you and he can't, there's nothing to do. And it's not about, like, because they can go pay somebody to do it. But no, it's just the physical part of it, of just dominating another man. I mean, I tell my friend this, it was almost a billionaire. Like, where can you just dominate another man? Another man's family, his kids, his wife, his mama, his daddy, his grandparents, all those are sitting up there watching, completely watching him getting his freaking tail whooped by another man.
Yeah.
Nothing they can do about it. I mean, it's the most high, and it might be like a brute, like an angry, but I love that part of football.
Well, that's maybe you should be good. You're young enough. Maybe you should be getting in the ring. You should get in the octagon, do a little MMA, do something if you still got that, you know, if you still got that rage. I mean, you're a young man.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. Not with the aneurysms anymore.
That's true.
I thought about it so much to go back and play. Yeah, like, if I could have played for Jeff or, you know, somewhere, like, I know it was going to be the same kind of defense.
Right.
I know exactly what I was going to do. I would have loved to, but, you know, with the aneurysms, I definitely can't play football anymore any kind of contact.
Yeah, and to that point, in all seriousness, I mean, you talk about your kids. I got a son that's a rising senior. All my sons play football, and my last one is my youngest one is a rising senior now. He'll play his final year, and you know, I've they know my history, but I've always told them, you know, you do what you want to do, I'll support you. It's a dangerous sport; you got to take care of yourself and so on. But there's no place where you can, you know, build the character and so on that this will do for you down your, you know, in your life than what you'll find on the football field. We found out today though that Dwight Clark, you know, 60 years old now, has the ALS, and he thinks that it probably came from playing football, and not, you know, certainly not everybody who played football got ALS, and not everybody who's got ALS played football. But having said that, how concerned are you? You know, I mean, you had the aneurysms and stuff, but how concerned are you about what the future might hold, and would that change your advice to young people or your own son to play football?
What I can tell you is, what I was here meant to do is to play football. Like, if I had to go back, God gave me this talent, gave me this size, gave me this speed and ability, I would play football. My son, my 10-year-old, he's been playing football since he was 4. Contact football, like tackling.
Mm-hmm.
I tell him the same thing. There's ways you can do it. Like, you can't erase that passion. Things are going to happen. Like, the book is already written. Your story, your life is already written. God already has that plan of what's going to happen. So if you don't play, you do play. Like, it's already, well, the day you're born, like, God already knows the day you're going to die.
Right.
So it's just how you want to live between that time. So I'm not going to sit here and tell my kids they can't play. But what I do tell my kids and I do tell my son is how to tackle, how to play the game. You don't have to go out here and try to give the big massive hit and all that stuff. Who cares about that? I don't care about that. All I want to care is you get them down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you freaking arm tackle them or trip them up or whatever in the back. If you trip up a quarterback and he's in the backfield trying to throw the ball, you know what? That's a sack. If he's over here, if you level him like with your head and all that stuff, and in the backfield he's trying to throw the ball, that's a sack. So take it the easier way. Trip him up. Get them down on the ground, and that's a sack. It doesn't matter how hard you hit. We don't gauge that in football, how hard you hit. Who cares about that? Get them down.
Yeah,
and also, that's what I teach my son, is how to play the game and not to try to hit hit with your head and you know, and put yourself in danger, what some of these guys are doing.
All right, there you have it. That is your Rapid Rewind for this, the 20th day of March, the first day of spring, right here on 730-1039,
The Ump. The Ump, WUMP, 730 and 1039, The Ump.
Hold up. I'm Doug Gottlieb with this CBS Sports Minute. College football and college basketball are polar opposites of one another in regards to the Big Ten. College football had a great regular season with Ohio State dominating Oklahoma on the road, Michigan dominating Colorado at home. But of course, because both teams lost in their bowl game, the thought was that the Big Ten was overrated. The same is true with the Big Ten, the ACC, and basketball. The ACC dominated in the non-conference, yet they only have one team in the Sweet 16, as opposed to the Big Ten, which had multiple losses out of conference, and what was seen as a mediocre Big Ten now has three teams remaining. You can tell me that college basketball season is meaningless, but if you want to make that argument, the same would be held true for college football. The regular season gives us a gauge of how good teams are, and then a tournament decides who wins that tournament's championship. I'm Doug Gottlieb.
Howdy, folks. KFC's Colonel Sanders here. You have someone in your life you want to get KFC's new $10 chicken share with? It could be a friend, more than a friend, or even a spouse. It's okay. Be brave. Go ahead and say, I want to get a $10 chicken share from KFC and share a chicken with you. It's who you are. Don't be ashamed. Just head to a KFC and share 9 extra crispy tenders, 6 pieces of original recipe, a lot of popcorn nuggets, or 12 hot wings. And don't be afraid to be who you are. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer. Participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra. Hot wings not available at all locations.
Napa Know How.
You don't need an air-conditioned steering wheel or high-performance supercharger to use Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil. Now just $5.79 a quart at Napa. Mobil 1 offers premium protection for all cars, premium or not so premium. So give your ride Mobil 1 synthetic, just $5.79 a quart, even if it doesn't have the latest technological stuff. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 3/31/17.
We had friends.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motor home.
Spring is here, and Bankston has the best selection of 2017 RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
New 2017s are arriving daily, like the Aspen Trail 1700 BH. This sweet travel trailer sleeps five with a set of rear bunks for the kids. This trailer features a full kitchen with a two-burner range, fridge, sink, microwave, and a large pantry. The Aspen Trail 1700 BH is on sale now for only $12,499.
The only way to go.
Spring is here, and so are the new 2017 travel trailers, truck campers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. Learn more about the Aspen Trail Mini 1700 BH online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
Five locations are online at BanksonMotorhomes.com.
March Madness is a time when the best of the best come out to play. Experience that same level of performance with the turbocharged Infiniti Q50 sedan. Visit Smith Infinity of Huntsville today and lease the Q50 for $339 a month for 39 months. $24.99 initial payment, tax, title, license, and options extra. Call 1-800-862-0406 for details. Offer ends 3/31/17. Infinity is an official partner of NCAA Men's Basketball. NCAA and March Madness are registered trademarks of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Infinity. Empower the drive.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog, Tom Abraham.
Just sit right back on the wheel.
What to watch on TV tonight. It is brought to you by our friends at Bankston Motorhomes. Of course, Bankston Motorhomes has the largest selection of motorhomes anywhere in the region. I mean, this is fifth wheels and travel trailers and truck campers and all three classes of motorhomes as well. And I'm talking about pre-owned and new. Doesn't matter. They have the largest selection, over 190 pre-owned units in stock right now. Five locations as well. You'll find them in Huntsville, Albertville, Florence, Ardmore, and up in Nashville as well. Plus, they're an authorized factory service center for so many of the top brands. Check out the website, BankstonMotorHomes.com. That's BankstonMotorHomes with an S.com, and you can see for yourself why so many RV owners have chosen to take and make Bankston Motorhomes their motorhome facility of choice. Very, very cool. All right. By the way, the website is updated every night there. So, you know, just because you looked yesterday doesn't mean there isn't something else there today. You got to keep that in mind as well. All right. Tonight, if you have been following the WBC, the U.S. has made it to the Final Four. Now, they play tomorrow night against Japan, where tonight – they'll have the game between, excuse me, man, between the Dutch and Puerto Rico. So you can watch that on the MLB Network. That is coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. If you want your pucks, you got the Sabres and the Red Wings from Detroit tonight. See Detroit when you can because they won't be in the playoffs. First time in 25 years they won't be in the playoffs. That's coming up at the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. Got some NCAA women's basketball if you're into that. You can check that out. Warriors at the Thunder is always good. It's on TNT, I should say, tonight. There is no more TNN, is there? Was that a Freudian slip? No Nashville Network. Knicks and the Clippers in the second half of the double dip there on TNT. Wrestling fans, you got your Monday Night Raw on your network stations. You've got 24 Legacy tonight, APB, which I find trite. My wife likes it. I can't lie. But you know what I really like is Taken. And Taken's really good. That's on NBC. You'll enjoy that. You might want to check that out as well. Tony Mack, what are you looking at tonight on your TV?
Well, actually, I was looking at Taken as well. That's probably what I flipped to. Usually on nights like this, I like to go to AMC and watch a movie. But I'm not a big Titanic guy. So I'm probably going to stay away from that. And White House Down is on. It's a fun little action movie. I might flip over to that for a couple minutes, too. Just depends on what the fiance's feeling.
I've got Robin in the Seven Hoods waiting for me on the DVR, but I won't be catching that tonight. I'll watch a little bit of sports tonight, and then I'll watch a little bit of stuff with my wife, whatever we got on the DVR. And speaking of TV, welcome Rex Ryan. But his voice is going to make it right to the finish line, and that's it. I'm not speaking again until tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Because it ain't going to make it through today if I got to talk to anybody during the day. So anybody that thinks they're getting a phone call from me tomorrow, you're not. ESPN has signed Rex Ryan to a multi-year deal to be a part of the NFL Sunday Countdown show, which without Chris Berman now and Mike Ditka and Tom Jackson has pretty much gone in the tank. But Rex Ryan, maybe he can help it. That's going to do it for us today. For Tony Mack, I am the big dog, Tom Abraham. We'll do it again tomorrow. Hey, Coach is next right here on 730, 1039, The Elm.
WUMP Sports Radio, The Elm.
The insane inflatable 5K is coming to town in just a few weeks, and you and your crew are invited to the bounce party. Fitness can be fun as you bob, weave through ball maze and crash course and get your bounce and slide on with the wall, wrecking balls, and seven additional inflatables. Check it out and register early to take advantage of special savings at insaneinflatable5k.com.
The Insane Inflatable 5K is coming back to Huntsville. It's just a few weeks away, and waves are already filling up. It's taking place April 8th. The Insane Inflatable 5K is fun for everyone. Feel like a kid again and jump on 11 of the craziest inflatable obstacles you have ever seen. Seriously huge and crazy cool. And we love saving you some money. So here's your chance to be a kid at heart again. And insane by choice. Log on this Friday morning at 9. You can be part of the Insane Inflatable 5K.
It's a $68.50 value for only $34.25.
Be a part of the Big Bounce Party. Log on this Friday morning at 9. UmpSports.com.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military, serving 7,000 miles away, gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
Every 2 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. More than 23,000 of these youth age out of foster care without anyone to protect them and care for them. You can be the difference for a child or teen in foster care. To learn about fostering or adoption, call SAFY today at 334-270-3181 or visit the website at safy.org. Consider becoming a foster parent, an agent of hope. Log on safy.org.
Not on my watch, our military service members say, as they volunteer to serve, as they move out, stand firm, and take fire. So not on our watch, we say, to the severely ill or injured veterans who can't get the care they deserve to live full and independent lives, even when there's no government funding or a nursing home seems like the only option. We won't leave one warrior behind. Not on our watch. Join us at findwwp.org.
Are you at risk for whooping cough? Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is an extremely contagious respiratory illness that can cause a violent cough lasting up to 10 weeks. Pertussis is spread through the air when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes. Over 48,000 cases of pertussis have been diagnosed in the United States, the highest number of cases since 1955. And even though you may have gotten the DPT shot when you were a child, over time, your immunity to pertussis declines, leaving you and those around you at risk. Even if you've received a tetanus shot in the past, there's a high likelihood it did not contain pertussis protection. Receiving the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine will not only protect you, but also prevent you from spreading the disease to others, especially to young children for whom whooping cough can be fatal. To find out more about the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine, be sure to talk to your pharmacist or doctor today.
At St. Jude, a family never sees a bill at all. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Hey everybody, we are
Lady Antebellum.
When we started out in Nashville, we never imagined what we were going to be able to achieve. We got here because we worked together and had each other's backs.
In America, we have the privilege of being a diverse society made up of people from all kinds of backgrounds. And that's a big part of what makes this country such a great place to live.
When we put aside our differences and work together, there is no challenge too great to overcome. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
The Ump is the smartest sports talk in the Tennessee Valley. The other guys, they ain't so smart.
You don't know the difference between a CAT scan and cat food. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The Ump. Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station.